Yesterday we heard the introduction to this discourse, which we start today. And it shows us, remember, that the motive for preaching the gospel is compassion, which means founded on self-knowledge. How desperately we all need to understand the gospel and respond to it. How desperately people have to hear this. Pope John Paul II, when he founded the Council for Culture, which is one of the dicasteries over there in Rome, he said the main purpose of this is to understand our contemporaries and preach the gospel to them in a way that they will understand. Now, it's amazing when you reflect on this text. Jesus, the way Matthew describes it, okay, first, he summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. It's exactly what he said Jesus did. Word for word. He's saying the disciples have the same mission and the same authority Jesus has. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that's the mystery of church. And the mystery of being commissioned to preach the gospel. Now, these are the apostles. If you mean the apostles, there's only these 12. Upon which the church still rests. Their preaching, their martyrdom, their holiness, and their intercession and help, you know, from heaven, as it says in the preface to the apostles, right? And from heaven they guide us still. But if you mean apostle in the sense of sent, well, first and foremost, that's the bishops. You see there, a bishop or an apostle is someone who does two things. He preaches the gospel and founds a community, and he cares for it. Well, now that the church is so numerous, you know, how can one person care for a diocese and preach the gospel? You see the enormity of the task. Now, we could do better in the superstructure and the complexity of our situation. We could do better. And of course, a lot depends on the holiness and graces of the bishop, how much he can do. Some are remarkable. But the gospel still has to be preached. And it was when Benedict was Cardinal Ratzinger that he wrote an article, a conference he gave as a conference at the first meeting of lay communities and lay movements in Rome. And he said, you see, the one bishop who can never renounce this twofold duty is the Bishop of Rome. He has to preach the gospel, and he has to take care of Rome. And you can see how recent popes have been faithful to that. I forgot how many hundreds of thousands of miles John Paul II traveled to preach the gospel. How hard he worked to get out into the media. You know, he used to say, the media are the Areopagus of today. Remember how Paul went to that hill in Athens and preached? Well, the hill today is the media. Get out there. Do you see this desire to preach the gospel? Well, Cardinal Ratzinger went on to say, one of the reasons why these lay communities have to have this special relationship to the Pope, they are certainly subject to their bishop, but they have a special relationship to the Pope, is because it's through them that he exercises a lot of his evangelistic ministry. They share, and they're subject to the ministry of the bishops, of course. But it's through these lay movements that the gospel can be preached to everybody. That doesn't make everybody a bishop. But you see, the urgency of this, and how do we do it today? How do we do it? You know, we're working hard now to get this Bellafilm here. Media. So people could see what a beautiful family is. That they could watch a young woman be changed by that and by friendship with a young man and not abort her baby. You see, that's preaching the gospel. We're working hard to get all these tapes and things out. The media. Because the days are gone when you just walk around your own town. You know, within something happens in India, within 5 minutes, the whole world knows it. But you see, the motive is compassion. We are so blessed. We know Jesus. We are so blessed. Even when we have a hard time, and we do like everybody else, there's something else. There's a presence of Jesus. Talk to him. Get direction from him. Be consoled and strengthened. Don't we want the whole world to do this? Besides the fact, when you look at what it doesn't happen, what happens? The poor don't have enough to eat. Infants are slaughtered. You know, science builds banks of little embryos to experiment with. War scars this whole globe. How many people are happy about that? Except for the very perverse, nobody. Even though they don't know how, we're not willing to give up the anger, the lust, the greed, the power, the whatever, that could change all this. And here we are, with the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. So he says to these apostles, and in a lesser way to everybody, gave them authority over unclean spirits. Drive them out. Walk into a grocery store, feel spooky, and pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, all you spirits, leave. Stop oppressing these people. If you know somebody, get them to somebody who can exercise the ministry of deliverance and exorcism. The priest, first and foremost, but not only the priest. I know a diocese where it's a lay woman is one of the exorcists. Because it's a part of office. It's also as charism. Drive out these unclean spirits. As faith settles down, lowers in this world, the doors are open for the demons to come in. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that. I mean, you look at the TV and you see how bad it's getting and you say, that's all just human? I'm not saying that the TV is possessed. I'm saying that it is vulnerable to be manipulated by Satan, and it is bombarding, especially our youth. Drive them out. Cure every disease and illness. He didn't say, well, you know, these are okay, but these are too hard, did he? He said, drive, you know, cure them all. Why not? It's amazing, you know. You just ask people, Lord, to heal people, and he does. Some people have an extraordinary gift for this. Well, we can all pray. And then he says, you see, and we get the name of these 12 fellas. One drops out, he's a traitor. They get someone to replace him. And they are to this day the foundation of the church. Hard for us to grasp. Go out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see how much he loves Israel? I cannot bypass Israel after having promised them a Messiah for 1,000 years. And I will never bypass them. As John Paul II said, the covenant has never been revoked. It's imperfect. It's not fulfilled. But the commitment is still there. Go tell everybody. Tell everybody the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Any way you want to say that, you know. If you're preaching on the streets, I loved to do that when I was in Rome. It was a great privilege. So, you know, you don't have to live this way. Dominated by fear, worry about money, lust, anger, worry about the stock market, everyday worry, worry, worry. You don't have to live that way. Dominated by these things that make you embarrassed and guilty. You don't have to live that way. Somebody says, that's interesting, but how do I know that's true? Then you say, look at me. I can tell you what Jesus Christ has done for me. That's the first step in preaching the gospel. You see, there's nothing succeeds better than a satisfied customer. That's why we ask the Lord to change our hearts, to bring us into union with Him, so that we can be a satisfied customer. Sure, I'm having a hard time. Sure, some of my kids are in trouble. Sure, this is life. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I know God. I know Jesus Christ. I know He has saved us from this mess. This isn't all there is to existence. There is another one. An entrance from this one to that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is given to you infinitely. See, that's what's driving Jesus. Still.